This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's welcome aboard right now Gary Parrish, a great columnist, college hoops analyst for CBS Sports, joins us now. Gary, Taz on the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Oh, you kidding? It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Gary. Let's start here, and certainly the NBA, and then we'll get into your thoughts about the draft, which is just 8 days away, and some of the collegiate prospects out there and what your thoughts are in terms of who should go number one overall, best guy that's going to transition, most impactful player. What's your take, and certainly on what the Warriors here have been able to accomplish? You know, some have questioned whether it's a dynasty because they added Durant a couple years ago. It's almost, an embarrassment of riches, but it's still a great accomplishment nonetheless.
No question. I think when you win three championships in a four-year span with mostly the same guys, with the same head coach, that qualifies as a dynasty for me. I know Durant has been the MVP of the finals each of the past 2 years, but it's still not crystal clear to some that he's actually the most important player on that team. I think there's still a lot of data that suggests Steph Curry is the most important to making that thing work, and that he is still the face of the franchise. And given that he's now got three rings again in a four-year period, it's a dynasty. And depending on what LeBron does next season, where he plays and with whom, they could be ready to go three in a row and four in a five-year period, which is just remarkable given that, you know, this, quote, super team wasn't built the way most super teams have traditionally been built. I know that they got Durant via free agency and that it put the league in a weird spot, but, you know, three of their top four players and the top three on the original team that won the championship, they were drafted all lower than they probably should have been. So that front office, those executives deserve a lot of credit because they built this mostly through the draft so well in that way that when the time came, they were able to lure, you know, arguably the best scorer in the world in Kevin Durant.
Well said, Gary. Speaking of LeBron, so that's the million-dollar question, right? Does he end up in Philly? Does he stay in Cleveland? Does he go to the Lakers? Now we hear, well, he doesn't like the city of Houston. Who knows? You know, what happens with LeBron, in your opinion?
I think there's two ways to look at it. What should he do if his sole focus is trying to put himself in a position to win a championship next year and over the span of the next few years? And then, like, what will he likely do? Let's start with the first. I mean, with the latter, rather. It seems likely that he's going to go to the Lakers. It seemed likely for about a year now. People have been discussing it for a while. The Lakers have been preparing for this moment, moving contracts around, trying to clear space for multiple max contracts so they can not only tell LeBron, you can come here, but you can bring whoever you want to bring with you. And so is that Chris Paul? Is that Paul George? It seems like it's headed that direction. He, and I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, already has a residence there. He spends his off seasons there. He has business interests there. And for somebody who is trying to be everything he's trying to be, being in the entertainment capital of the world makes a lot of sense. And then let's just say for the sake of the conversation, it is Paul George who comes home to L.A. And now you're trotting out there LeBron James, Paul George, assuming the Lakers stay mostly intact, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, perhaps Julius Randle. I'm not saying that's going to put them in a position to be favored over Golden State, but it's a better supporting cast by a significant margin than what LeBron was just operating with in Cleveland. And while I know we just watched a sweep, game one could have gone either way. Game three could have gone either way. If after three games in that series, Cleveland was actually up 2-1, like, we were very close to that. It took, unbelievable performances by Steph and Kevin to get that done. And then JR not knowing the score, George Hill missing a free throw. Again, I'm not trying to redo the finals, but the sweep suggests something that the actual individual games do not. So yeah. If you're LeBron James, I think you can – you can reasonably say, give me Paul George, give me Kyle Kuzma, give me Brandon Ingram. Lakers can probably do some moves to get some other pieces, get a vet minimum who just wants to come play with LeBron. Like, I'll take a shot at Golden State with those guys. I was competitive with them with these other idiots. I'll take a shot with these guys.
Well,
so that's what I think. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to, it's interesting, Gary, because I've never been in that situation, right, in terms of obviously of being in a LeBron situation. He's had some time to think about it. He was asked about it after game four. Do you think LeBron knows? Do you think LeBron is it's obviously not out, but he's going to go through the dog and pony show. Do you think it's likely the Lakers, the most likeliest destination? Do you think he has a good understanding of what he would like to do?
Yes. He's too smart not to. If the whole world's thinking about this, it flies in the face of common sense to think he's not also thinking about this. Like, why are you and I spending more time thinking about LeBron than LeBron is thinking about
LeBron? That's a good point.
So I think he has a good sense. I'm not sure he can't be moved in a different direction. But I think he might not know exactly what he's going to do. I think he probably knows exactly what he's not going to do. And so the list that you hear are pretty elaborate. Philadelphia, Boston, Houston, Lakers, Cleveland. I bet you his list isn't quite as long as everybody else's list. But I do think ultimately, for all of the reasons I just stated, the Lakers are the destination. Now, I'll say this. If he was focused strictly on where's going to give me the best chance to continue to add to my Wikipedia page, I'd opt into the contract and orchestrate a deal.
Yes.
Orchestrate a deal to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, well, that would be fascinating.
And here's how it would go down. People would say, why would Cleveland do a deal with Boston? Well, because the alternative is losing LeBron for absolutely nothing. Like, if LeBron goes to the Lakers, you get nothing. He's just going to go via free agency, and you get nothing in return. If he asked you to allow him to opt in, and then Cleveland and Boston already work a deal, you could theoretically, and this again, just for the sake of the conversation, let's say Boston sends Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris, and a future number one to Cleveland. Well, now you're at least getting something back. And suddenly, if you're the Celtics, you're trotting out a starting lineup, theoretically, of Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, LeBron James, Al Horford. That's three players that were all-stars in 2018. LeBron James, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving. LeBron, best player on the planet, two of the best rising stars in the world, and maybe the best coach in the NBA right now in Brad Stevens. And then the Celtics got so many draft picks. They could have as many as four in 2019 that they're going to continue to add talented pieces. It would allow, because they would clearly be the obvious favorite in the East, LeBron to extend his streak of Eastern Conference championships to nine. And then I'm not certain that a lineup of Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, LeBron James, and Al Horford with Brad Stevens coaching them, I'm not certain I wouldn't pick them over.
They could be Golden State.
To be the real deal right there for sure. No doubt about it.
So there's that. And obviously there's the Kyrie-LeBron dynamic. But if I'm Danny Ainge, and this is what I want to do, and it's what LeBron wants to do, I just tell Kyrie, hey, get on board or don't. You've got 1 year left on your contract.
Right.
Like, we can, and guess what? We can move you for a different piece. And Terry Rozier showed us in the postseason he can handle that. We think Terry Rozier and LeBron James being our primary ball handlers will be just fine.
So and Rozier is more durable. And Rozier is more durable. Right. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Kyrie is, there's been four times in his career where Kyrie Irving's team has been in the playoffs. Kyrie Irving hasn't played two of those times.
Yeah.
So if I'm Danny Ainge, I just tell Kyrie Irving what Cleveland actually should have told him last summer. Get on board or don't get on board, but we're not, in Cleveland, they should have said, we're not moving you. You got 2 years left on your contract. In Boston, you can say, get on board and be a part of the Eastern Conference favorites, or tell us you're not. And we'll do our best to move you, but we'll move you wherever we want to. Maybe to Sacramento, if you think that's more a better situation for you. So I think that could be resolved. Yeah. Boston makes a whole lot of sense to me. I don't think it's likely, but from a basketball perspective, I absolutely love it.
Well, talking, Gary, about the NBA draft, we're on a cusp right here. So let's shift gears that way, man. So is it a lock or what that the Suns are going to go with DeAndre Ayton?
I think so. And there will be a lot of talk between now and next Thursday about they're considering this and they're considering that. But ultimately, they're going to, you know, turn in a pick to Adam Silver, and he's going to announce DeAndre Ayton. Most people believe that he's the clear-cut best prospect in this draft. He's an Arizona star. We're talking about the Phoenix Suns. It just I can't envision a scenario where they don't go that direction. After Ayton, now it could go a variety of ways, but I think we know already who the number one pick is going to be. It's going to be DeAndre Ayton.
You know, if you look at franchise-changing players, how many guys in this draft, Gary, next Thursday night, would you put on that list?
I think we could end up, you know, with maybe three, but I'm not sure exactly who they are. You know, sometimes it's pretty clear cut. Like, you know, in the Kevin Durant, Greg Oden draft, Oden Durant were going 1-2 in some order, and it was going to be Oden Durant for most. And you know, I know Oden is considered a bust, but his body failed him. If healthy, you know, you go back and watch the championship game Greg Oden played in, he dominated Joakim Noah, Al Horford. You know, he was going to be a star if not for his body failing him. This draft, I don't know that there's any guaranteed stars. Like, Oden was a better prospect than anybody in this draft. Durant was a better prospect than anybody in this draft. I don't know that there's an Anthony Davis in this draft or a LeBron James in this draft. My point being, guys, that you just know there's nothing that's going to prevent them from being a star other than injury issues. But there are stars in this draft. It's just we don't always know who they are or where they're going to be picked. If we did, there's no way Jason Tatum goes third. If we did, there's no way Donovan Mitchell goes 13th last year. But if you told me we're going to look up in 5 years and DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, and I'll just say Mo Bamba or Trae Young are all the best players on good NBA teams, that would not surprise me. I think the best part of this draft is that even if there's not a necessarily a sure thing at the top, there's a bunch of guys throughout the lottery, at least 6, 7, maybe even 8, that you can reasonably get excited about might turn into, you know, an all-star level guy. And I should add Michael Porter Jr. to that list if he's healthy, because a year ago he projected as a top three pick in this draft. So the best part of this is if you're picking even 6, 7, 8, you've got at least a shot in theory to get somebody special.
Well, Gary, you mentioned Trae Young, you know, so there's been some scuttlebutt about, you know, his size or lack thereof as far as, you know, the skeletal of his body, the thickness that he has or doesn't have. Do you think that's going to affect him in the NBA? How do you think he'll fare in the NBA in general?
I like him, but I'm not ignorant to his measurements. Like, he's not built like a typical NBA player. I will say that at the same age, 19, he's bigger than Steph Curry was at 19.
Right,
now,
that
doesn't mean he's going to grow to where Steph Curry is, and Steph Curry is still small. You know, so we'll see. But you know, I could argue this one either way. His ability to create shots, make shots, see the floor, make passes, set up teammates. You know, he led the nation in scoring and assists. That's not, you know, and he did it in a power conference with mediocre teammates. I mean, he's got some stuff that I think is undeniable. But what scares me is that the people who believe in Trae Young, and I am one of them, we point to Steph Curry, and we don't suggest that he's going to be a three-time world champion and two-time MVP. Like, that's what you get asked all the time. Is he the next Steph Curry? Well, no, because I don't think he's going to win three championships. Most people don't. I don't think he's going to win two MVPs. Most people don't. I mean, Kobe retired with one MVP, I think. So, like, Steph Curry is in rare, rare company. But I do think he can do some of the things Steph does, and that's, you know, you have to make defensive guard him out to 30 feet, maybe even 35 feet, because he can shoot comfortably from out there. I think he's going to be able to create scoring opportunities for himself and others. The only thing that gives me pause is this. It reminds me a little bit about when little scoring guards would come out and people would say, well, he can be the next Allen Iverson. And this went on for like 15 years.
It did.
And the thing you would find out ultimately is that there's only one Allen Iverson. There's only one guy who can do that at his size. And I wonder if there's only one Steph Curry.
All right.
Trae Young looks like Steph Curry. He can do a lot of the stuff Steph Curry does, but are we going to find out there's just one Steph Curry? There's not two. That's what I'm fearful of.
I'm curious about a lot of people. Are you a Colin Sexton believer out of Alabama?
I would take Trae Young before I took Colin Sexton, but I would take Colin Sexton in the top 10 because he's built more like a modern NBA point guard. He's got a little better size. He's a better athlete. He's super aggressive, lightning quick with the ball. He certainly can't see the floor the way Trae Young does. He can't shoot the way Trae Young does. But in a league where, you know, point guards are asked to, by and large, just break your guy down, get to the rim, and create either for yourself or other people because nobody can stay in front of you, he is that kind of guy. You know, I don't know if he's Eric Bledsoe or John Wall, but he plays basketball in a super aggressive way and wants to put pressure on the defense every offensive possession. So I like him a lot. I think Trae Young's got a better chance of being a star if his stuff translates, but I think Colin Sexton, if this makes sense, might be the safer pick because there's just no way Colin Sexton's going to be overwhelmed physically. There is a scenario where Trae Young might be overwhelmed physically.
Hey, Gary, so what player, not getting too much hype right now, too much spotlight on him right now in this draft, that could be a steal late, hypothetically, let's say, in the NBA draft?
I would go with Josh Okogie from Georgia Tech, and he's a guy who – is off most basketball fans' radars for a handful of reasons. He was not a McDonald's All-American coming out of high school. He wasn't even a top 100 recruit coming out of high school. Then he goes to Georgia Tech, and he's played on two very mediocre Georgia Tech teams in the past couple of years. You know, first one went to the NIT, second one went nowhere. So you didn't see him on national television a lot. He's not on any All-American teams. You never saw him in the NCAA tournament. But he's a 6'4 combo guard athlete with a 7-foot wingspan, who shot 38% from three-point range in 2 years at Georgia Tech and took a lot. So it's not a small sample size number. That's a true reflection of his shooting ability. And so when you look at what everybody seems to want on the perimeter these days, you know, how do you figure out a way to beat the Golden State Warriors or teams like that? You kind of have athletes with length who can switch everything and then be shooters on the offensive end of the court. Well, he checks all of those boxes. And so I don't know whether he goes 22 or 32, but I bet you this, wherever he's picked, let's say it's 26, in 3 years you won't look up and go, there were 25 players better than him in the 2018 NBA draft. And another guy that's going to fit the same description, just in different ways, Jalen Brunson, you know, the National Player of the Year out of Villanova. He's probably going to go late first, early second, and I understand why. He's not a great athlete, doesn't have great size, but he reminds me a lot of Fred VanVleet, where he doesn't measure in ways that you like. He's not an athlete like you like, but he just knows how to play basketball, and he'll figure it out. Fred VanVleet went from undrafted to, you know, a high-level backup point guard for the team that won more games in the East than anybody else this season. He was up, is up, for sixth man of the year. I think Jalen Brunson, just like I said about Josh Okogie, wherever he's picked, when you look up in 3 years, you will know that he was better value than what people showed him on draft night.
Gary Parrish, columnist, CBSSports.com. Also, check him out on CBS Sports. Does a great job as an analyst. Gary, final one here, 30 seconds or less. Guy that you have the reservations about that's going to go in the first round, but you're not so sure that his game translates to the NBA.
Well, it's not a guy who's – I'm not sure game translates to the NBA because a lot of stuff he does translate to the NBA. I'm worried about Jaren Jackson, who might go in the top five. And he's a great prospect, but he's never been a great player. Like, Bagley was great in college. Ayton, great in college. Trae Young, great in college.
Good point.
Jaren Jackson played 21 minutes a game. So is he a great prospect or is he a great player? We'll see. But there's a whole bunch of physical specimens who just flame out in the NBA. And I'm not certain he won't be the next.
Gary Parrish, wealth of information. Check out his mock draft on CBSSports.com. It's a tremendous, does a fantastic job locally down in Memphis as well. Hey, Gary, we appreciate the time this morning. We really do. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday,
all right?
Thanks,
Gary.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.